Track 8, Walk of Life. Seasoned world traveller Hannah Parry came back to Norfolk for a walk and found beauty, nature and solitude on the coast path that she did not experience elsewhere.
The waves lapping at the shore sounded different tonight. The melodious sounds of the water causing the pebbles on the beach to knock together was different to the soft roar of waves against sand I'd heard the first night. The water was my constant companion as I walked the Norfolk coast path. "It's like the end of the world," said an old woman with a plastic rain scarf over her head. We'd both just parked at the unglamorous end of Hunstanton. The large car park with a view of the back of an industrial building was almost empty. The wind rang in my ears as it began to rain. An excellent welcome to my long walk. I had travelled the world before returning to Norfolk. Growing up just outside the city was boring to me then. The excitement and opportunities of London were calling, and I took every chance I could to travel and find adventure all around the world. Yet, walking the Norfolk coast path provided me with beauty, nature and solitude that I hadn't experienced anywhere else. My feet slipped in the soft sand dunes of Hokum Sands, not far from the village of Burnham Overy Staithe, and a few miles along the 86-mile route. My heavy pack had already become a familiar weight after several hours of walking. I looked across the pale dunes as the grey-blue water rushed gently in and out, and thought of walking barefoot on the sand in Goa, in India. There, tiny crabs scuttled back to their burrows at the water's edge as my feet approached. The water sounded soft then. The warmth of the air and the cool of the water made everything feel like a dream. The bite of cold in the clear night sky and rising harvest moon felt just as dreamlike on those Norfolk sand dunes as the stars shone brightly overhead. Whilst the Norfolk coast path lies beside the sea for much of the route, the unique wetlands of the coastline mean that for large stretches, the only firm footing is a kilometre or two away from the open waves. The tidal marshland remains the kingdom of the seabirds. Soaring above their private domain, seagulls chatter and shriek to each other. The village of Mawston feels at once next to the water and far from the waves. Boats lounge sleepily on the sticky mud at low tide as the many channels run dry. I had kayaked here before. The open sea, wind in our faces, and the excitement of seeing seals was an exhilarating challenge compared to the narrow and calm channels of the no man's land as we negotiated our way back to solid land. Along the route, there are many cute towns and quaint villages where weary walkers and curious tourists can find cosy pubs and holiday lets. Yet there are stretches where I was alone for miles. Wells next to the sea, one of the more populated places I passed through, was like an oasis in the desert. Seeing people after hours alone felt like waking up after a strange dream. "Large Americano and a vegan chocolate cake. Here you are," said the young waitress who served me. The coffee and cake certainly seemed like a mirage until I felt the sugar and caffeine hitting my bloodstream and lifting my mood. Walking and caffeine go hand in hand for me. When I walked the Camino de Santiago, 1,000 kilometres across northern Spain, the hot days were punctuated by coffee breaks. "Only 5K to go until coffee time," my friend Vincent and I would encourage each other, counting down to the next cup. There were ways to break up the long days during the month-long expedition, little victories to aim for and rewards for continued commitment. I started that walk under a black cloud. I thought a big adventure before a big birthday would fix my personal problems and then everything would be fine. Day after day alone with my thoughts, meeting new, interesting and affirming people did help to heal me. I finally slowed down and could appreciate what I had, freedom, strength and determination, without focusing on what was missing. So too on the coast path. I could have focused on the ruined plans caused by the pandemic, the lost opportunities for experiencing new countries and cultures and making new friends, but instead it felt like a gift, a chance to finally see the natural beauty in my own front yard and really appreciate what had always been there. The flat landscape came as no surprise in the famously hill-less county, yet the terrain varies hugely as the path progresses from west to east. At times, though, the flatness was a challenge. I could see for miles in front of me the unbroken views stretching on for what seemed like eternity. My spirits lifted as I caught my first glimpse of the windmill at Clye. The 19th century structure stands as a sentinel at the edge of the little village. The route between Blakeney and Clye leads the walker towards the village before turning away towards the coast and later circles back, maximising the potential for observing nature and experiencing solitude. However, I was ready for a break and I eagerly awaited the amenities tiny Clye might provide. I've learnt by now, just keep moving forward, however slowly, and you'll arrive eventually. After the path swept me back towards the outstretched arms of the windmill, I bought an apple from the little store there, a worthy reward for perseverance, and munched my way back towards the beach once more. Walking is like meditation. The repetitive action of placing one foot in front of the other can act to change one's mood. Simply by moving, breathing the fresh air and detaching from other concerns, it's possible to reset and recharge. Yet my zen-like state was rudely interrupted by the crowds in Cromer. Having already spent 40 miles, 65k, in relative solitude, the meandering groups enjoying the town on a bright sunny day were certainly unwelcome. "But I want an ice cream now, Daddy," one little boy whined to his father before trailing after him. I dodged around people milling outside fish restaurants or blocking the path as they admired the view along the pier and out to sea. Despite having promised myself chips and coffee on arrival, I couldn't bear to stay. My walking rhythm kept me moving onto Overstrand, where the tiny cliff-top cafe treated me better. Despite the strenuous staircase from the beach, it provided greasy chips, hot coffee, respite and refreshment, without the crowds of people. Munsley was my finish point. The beach there is the best of all in Norfolk. I had walked this shore hundreds of times before, from when my five-year-old's hand was in the grip of my father's rough fingers. Here the sea is trying to reclaim the land. My grandmother had lived nearby, and two Christmases ago I remember the warnings after the cliff collapsed onto the beach, tons of soil poured down onto the sand below, worryingly close to a caravan park. Today, however, the receding tide treated me to a wide vista. The sands are whiter here, unlike the reddish-orange of Hunstanton and the round, grey pebbles of Clye. I dipped my weary feet in the ice-cold sea. My journey on the Norfolk coast path was complete. Hannah Parry is a journalist and blogger who writes about travel and adventure as well as humanitarian issues. She's also a professional organist and scuba diver. Find out more at hannahparry.co.uk.